Yeah, eat, sleep, fantasy, you rocking with the best. NFL fantasy football podcast. We talking mock drafts, running backs, better follow the conversation with Dale, Christian, and Armando. Screaming Eat Nation, we doing what we like. Tune in every week, guaranteed we get it hype. Fantasy football enthusiasts, I know you plan to be joining us on Eat Sleep Fantasy. Yeah, Eat Sleep Fantasy. Eat Sleep Fantasy.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Eat Sleep Fantasy Football Podcast, also known as the Baby Shark of Fantasy Football Podcasts. My name is Christian Brito, Also joining me is Mr. Dale DeMott. What is up, Dale?
What's up, man? The Baby Shark of Fantasy Football. Look, I don't know. I know what the Baby Shark is, and if somebody doesn't know what it is, just YouTube it or listen to the very end of this podcast, and it'll be stuck in your head for days. The crazy thing is how many freaking hits that, how many downloads that stupid song got on
It's
YouTube.
An older song. It's just like one of those common songs that you know, little kids
no,
in
it's
their
not
preschool.
Old.
That song is at least a decade old.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So it's one of those common songs that people sing with kids in like circle time at a preschool.
Yeah, right.
And so now lately, you know, with the advent of YouTube in the past 10 years, a lot of these kids' songs go on there, and they've made catchier versions of the same songs.
Right, and videos to go along with it.
That specific one, the most popular one, has 1.4 billion views.
With a B.
And so I'm just talking to Dale, like, maybe we just need to do like a fantasy football kid song or something.
Look, we suck on YouTube, and we suck video form. We're going to get better, by the way. But yeah, we need something. We need a viral video. And so I think doing a kid's song for fantasy, it'll gear towards kids. Kids will hit replay all day, and then also everybody listening, will download it, and we get double
Don't
hits.
Don't draft him, Don't draft him, No.
Yeah.
We'll work on it. We'll work on it.
No, that's good. Yeah. Wait on kickers.
No. No, not that. No. We'll try. Okay. We'll figure it out. We'll circle back around this,
or like,
in like 6 months or so, right around the time for March Madness.
How about just off the top of my head? How about the kickers on your team go bust? That's good.
It's not bad, but not kickers. You're fixated on kickers.
Okay.
Back to the drawing board.
All right.
Anyways, we've got a lot to talk about.
I do think I have something there with the wheels and the bus theme, but go ahead. I'll write this down.
Just save it for later.
1 billion views later. This is where it all started. Later.
Okay. So we've got a lot to talk about in this episode. Today we're going to be talking sleepers, some of the guys that Dale and I have already outlined as potential sleepers. We're going to revisit this again in another month as people get towards their drafts and maybe some of these opinions have shifted. Keep an eye out for ADP as we move into draft season in a month or so. What I do want you to keep in mind when we talk about sleepers, some of these values and things may change. Keep this stuck in your head. Look at ADPs and look at your rankings or whatever rankings you're using. If I'm going off my own rankings, if you're going off a consensus ranking from a particular site, from Eat Sleep Fantasy, from wherever you're looking, look at where you might find a value. So maybe your rank says that a guy should be a top 25 player, but his ADP is 50. That's a guy that might potentially be a huge value for you. And as you get later in drafts, that's where you maybe jump a round or two for your sleepers and guys that you've specifically targeted as sleepers. And those are some of the guys that we're going to talk about today.
Sure. Before we go into all that, I do want to, I have some housekeeping issues here. Maybe not issues, but whatever. Housekeeping Ooh. Things I want to do. First, for any of our new followers, any of our new listeners, thank you for listening. We appreciate you downloading, taking your time to listen to us. If you haven't already noticed, we are a little bit of fantasy football. Well, actually a lot of fantasy football and a little bit of other entertainment. Maybe, you know, just to keep your mind off of the normal daily stuff, listen to fantasy football. We might make a couple jokes in between. We'll just try to entertain you while bringing you fantasy football goodness. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, most of the times I'm recording a podcast, I'm not wearing a shirt, and I do that for you.
Yes. Yeah. He goes shirtless 95% of the time.
95%.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And also, for anybody newly following us on Twitter, thank you. We just hit over 11,000 Twitter followers, so we appreciate that. We try to stay really active on all social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I think Twitter is probably what I, and I've said Twitter like 50 million times already. I'm sorry. But that's where I'm most active.
What's the site?
Twitter.com.
Oh, Twitter.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have to put the HTTP?
/Twitter.com.
Yeah. ..
Why? How come sometimes you have to put www and sometimes you don't?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird. Anyways.
HTTPS.
Yep, you know, S. When it's... That's for Twitter. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyways, so just over 11,000 followers now. We are giving away a DeAndre Hopkins autographed mini helmet if you want a chance at that. Follow us and retweet our pinned tweet. You could find it. Just look for us on Twitter at EatSleepFF. Right. Also, let's see. Oh, we are
personal
on
Twitters if you want to give up mine, at CBurritoFantasy.
Nobody needs to know that.
Please follow me.
Also, if you guys appreciate the show and want to give back a little bit, it's free if you go to podcastawards.com. That's with an S at the end. Vote for us for sports and rec category and people's choice if you want, but we're really focused on the sports and rec. Follow us there, and that will help a lot. It's free. You could do it like once per email. We'd appreciate that. If you do it, send me a screenshot, and we'll give away a few pop sockets for your phones. I don't know. I never used pop sockets, and I put in this new Eat Sleep Fantasy one on the back of my phone. I use it like crazy.
It's my favorite thing ever.
Like, I never used it, and then I'm using it all the time now. So even if you don't have
the pop sockets.
Yeah, they're awesome.
That needs to be my strange addiction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm addicted to pop sockets.
Anyways, that's all I wanted to say to start off the show.
I have one thing that I want to say.
What?
You saw that transition there? That horrible transition?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was radio style.
Okay, forget what you said. I have something to say now.
Awesome. So, for those of you that have been listening to us and you enjoy what you hear, drop us a review on iTunes or wherever it is that you're listening, preferably 5 stars. If you have criticism, maybe you don't drop a review. Maybe you email us, eatsleepfantasy@gmail.com. If you want to comment and concerns or whatever, things that we can improve, things that you might want to hear. But if you do want to leave us a nice review, please drop it on iTunes or wherever you're listening. For example, this one comes from PSizzle127. This is a great podcast for normal guys. These guys are entertaining and informative, and I love listening. They have the stats, news, and comedy that I look for in an entertaining podcast. Keep it up. They truly love talking about dicks. This guy gets us, Dale.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I like it.
I love how he ended it with, they love talking about this. I don't know how iTunes allowed him to put that in the review.
Anyways, yeah, I mean, these the positive reviews always help, especially the ones to fight off the negative reviews. People that don't give us a chance. If you listen to us for 3 minutes and then turn us off,
the problem with that is that if we're 3 minutes in, 7 minutes in, maybe even 15 minutes in, we probably haven't gotten to the fantasy football yet. So just give us a full episode, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, listen to the whole thing. Definitely.
Yeah. All right. Like, this bad review just says worst.
Worst.
Come on, man. You didn't even give us a full review, and there's no way we're the worst whatever.
Right, right.
Right? I listen to other podcasts. We might be in the bottom 1%, but not the worst.
Definitely not the worst.
All right.
Anyways.
So... I did want to mention that as we move into training camps this week, there will be news. We are not going to cover news today because a lot of what's coming out is just hype and speculation. Mm-hmm. My only thing that I want to address about that is bear in mind that hype is exactly that and not always indicative of a player doing well. Yeah. Negative commentary from coaches and those sorts of things are more so things you want to keep track of. Injuries, possible ailments cropping up. Those are the types of things, you know, disgruntled players, people holding out. Mm-hmm. Those are the types of things that you want to pay attention to more so than hype.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Let's dive into our sleepers, Dale.
All right, let's do it. Do you want to talk about running backs first or wide receivers?
Yep, let's talk about running backs and a guy that I don't know how he's ended up here. I think it's just because the fantasy community and the consensus doesn't like the guy, but I find myself, and I think you find yourself too, drafting him in a lot of places because of his value and what will be returned on that. And that's C.J. Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Lifelong C.J. Anderson lover, I am.
You suckered me in, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, last year, I mean, I know, look, teams change a little bit, right? I mean, he's working for Denver last year, now Carolina. But last year, over 240 carries, over 1,000 yards. Touchdowns were definitely an issue. But I think that's more indicative of him playing for the Broncos than anything. I don't think that was 100% his fault not getting in the end zone. Opportunity just wasn't there a ton of times. But somebody who gets over 240 carries and over 1,000 yards is definitely somebody on my list from year to year. I understand Christian McCaffrey's there, and that's, you know, it doesn't have to be, oh, there's already a running back there. Christian McCaffrey's just a different breed of a player. Are you on the same path here as I am?
The Carolina Panthers are a good offense. And you're talking about a guy that I think is an improvement on Jonathan Stewart. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is involved in this offense, but Christian McCaffrey is a receiver playing running back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to be a PPR machine. He's going to get you 80 catches this year. C.J. Anderson is going to be that first and second down guy. I can't say goal line guy because that's Cam, but he's going to return way better production than where he's being drafted right now. And I just think he's a value.
Last year, Jonathan Stewart finished with almost 200 carries, just short of 200 carries and 680 yards, but he fell into the end zone 6 times last year. That, again, is just showing where the opportunity is, where C.J. Anderson had almost 50 more carries than he did with 400 extra yards and still got half the amount of touchdowns. So I feel like C.J. Anderson is grossly undervalued this year, and I'm finding myself just getting him in seriously every draft I draft just because he's there every single draft.
Depending on the draft, I've seen him go in about the 9th round in most drafts. He's going 903,
mm-hmm.
an average draft position on Fantasy Football Calculator. So that's more or less where you're going to get him, and he's I think you're getting a solid, you know, flex running back at a price that is pretty much going to guarantee you, you know, production at an RB2 level throughout this season.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty happy with where you're getting C.J. Anderson.
Yeah. If you're drafting him as a flex play, and you know, I mean, that's basically where he's going. Man, you're doing okay.
You're drafting him as your, realistically, because at that point, I will usually have, you know, 4 running backs, 3 wide receivers, or 4 wide receivers, and 1 something else, so a tight end maybe or something. So you're drafting him as your potentially 5th running back?
Right. Crazy. I mean, when
4th running
back? He's going after guys like Rex Burkhead, even Isaiah Crowell, which we'll talk about in a little bit, after Marshawn Lynch, after Tariq Cohen. I mean, yeah, come on.
In standard leagues, that makes no sense.
None at all.
Absolutely none.
All right.
So I got another guy that's in the same, I think in the same conversation in terms of where you're getting him and maybe, you know, a round earlier or so, but I want to talk about Marlon Mack.
Yeah.
He's a guy that I know that the Colts drafted 2 running backs this NFL draft, but they drafted both of these running backs on the last day of the NFL draft.
Right.
And Marlon Mack is, he's one of the lower ranked running backs, but he's going to start the NFL season as the starter for the Colts. We'll see what happens with Andrew Luck. If Andrew Luck is healthy, that's automatically going to be a pretty good offense, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get why people keep talking about, oh, he's a small guy. Mac is bigger than Hines, than Nyheim Hines, or right. You know. So I don't get that argument. Hines is in a lot of drafts going in front of Marlon Mack. And, you know, he showed some good stuff last year. Like, he wasn't bad. And this, I mean, Marlon Mack, he's younger than his competition in Jordan Wilkins. So, like, he's a second-year player. Like, let's stop automatically assuming just because the Colts drafted a couple of other guys that were in the end of the draft, that Marlon Mack is immediately being thrown out the door. Could the job go to Hines? Sure. Could the job go to Wilkins? Sure. But pay attention, because I think you can get an extreme draft day value in Marlon Mack if he's the starter day one.
Yes. Yep. I agree. I mean, I'm taking a shot at Marlon Mack before Sony Michel and before Rashad Penny. The Rashad Penny one might not be a popular opinion, but I'm taking him over both of those guys I just listed.
Yeah. His average draft position right now is the last pick of the eighth round.
Mm-hmm.
So 8-12 in a 12-team league. He's going the 12th pick of the eighth round.
Right.
So right around, you know, very similar territory to Anderson that's going at the 903, but two guys that, I mean, you're talking about probably your fourth running back for Mac, and you can probably start him day one.
Yeah. If he's a starter, for sure. And like you said, with that offense, when Andrew Luck comes back, not an issue.
There's a lot of potential upside there, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if Luck's healthy. There's a lot of touchdown potential upside. I like the guy. Because guys going a little bit later, maybe like, you know, Crowell and stuff like that, sure, could be the starter from day one. But maybe there's some limited upside due to the offense.
Yeah.
But I don't agree that the Colts are going to be a bad offense if Luck is healthy.
Right. So,
all right, man. Take over the next one.
All right. Let's talk about, let's talk about the New England backfield in particular. Let's talk about Rex Burkhead.
This is a good one.
Yeah. So Rex Burkhead right now is going right around the 40th overall running back, 100th overall. I just don't see anybody really putting their stock into any of the Patriots backfield. I mean, Rex Burkhead and even guys like I mentioned earlier, Sony Michel's drafted way earlier. Does anybody really think that one of these guys are going to take over? Nobody thinks that, right?
That's actually why I put Rex Burkhead down here. I think people are assuming Sony Michel will. And my money is on Rex Burkhead, Will.
Sure. I think they have about equal chance. Okay. I mean, let's just label that. They both have equal chance. And they're both being drafted, 40 spots apart from each other. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. So Rex Burkhead, I mean, you're talking about another guy going in a bit, you know, similar territory, 9th, 10th round. That you can get. I mean, the potential is there. Sure, the Patriots offense is going to be frustrating at times because you don't necessarily know who's going to be the running back guy. But I think very early on, you're going to see a lot of Rex Burkhead as Tom Brady needs to earn, or Sonny Michel needs to earn the trust of Tom Brady as we go along. I think you're going to see a lot of Rex Burkhead. Deion Lewis is no longer part of this offense, especially in a PPR league. Give me plenty of Rex Burkhead.
Okay. Rex Burkhead over Isaiah Crowell? Yes or no?
I think so.
Okay. How about Rex Burkhead over Chris Thompson?
Chris Thompson has a very ironed out role in that offense. It depends on what you're shooting for. If you're shooting for a guy that you want some safety week in, week out, that's going to be Chris Thompson. If this is my fifth running back and I'm swinging for the fences, I'm going for Rex Burkhead.
The problem is Rex Burkhead, week one, he rushes for 50 yards. He catches 50 yards and he gets 2 touchdowns. Can anybody trust him week 2? Seriously?
Why not?
Because it's Patriots backfield, and next week it's going to be James White that does the exact same thing.
I agree, but I think this backfield has a pretty clear order for me for right now.
I get it. Yeah. Okay. I'm not buying into any hype from any beat writers that are pumping up Rex, anybody in this backfield pumping up any of them. That's fair. Lead back, role, quote unquote. I'm not paying attention to any of that stuff. I'm watching trends as the season unfolds. And Rex Burkhead's stock is an okay one to hold on to and see what happens, I think. All right. Let's move on. I mentioned Isaiah Crowell earlier. Let's just talk about the entire New York Jets backfield. We have Isaiah Crowell, Bilal Powell, and Elijah McGuire. I think all three are pretty talented running backs that could do damage in fantasy football. Obviously, Isaiah Crowell is the guy here, right?
From Fantasy Football Calculator again.
Sure.
You know where Crowell is going in a 12-team league?
Where?
10-02.
Mm-hmm.
He is the last drafted starting running back. 10-02, I'm getting Crowell.
Yeah.
The Jets offense is going to suck. But if Crowell is who I think he's going to be, he's going to get a ton of carries. And like he's going to fall into production and just be a guy that, like, if everything else goes wrong, you can plug in and get some points at your RB2.
Mm-hmm.
You can plug in and get some points at your flex with Crowell if you need to. And so, like, this is a guy that, like, it's so late that it just kind of makes sense. If you go heavy at other positions, let's say you see a value, you get Kirk Cousins in your draft, you know, and you drafted a quarterback, fine. Oh, and then you want a tight end. Okay, boom, I got a tight end. So you're slacking. You need some running back depth. You don't feel comfortable. Crowell's a perfect target.
Yeah.
Where you got a guy who you know is going to fall into carries. And so because of that, you can kind of plug him in. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be very Frank Gore-esque. But it'll be production nonetheless.
Right. I think the main, like, so Crowell, I think, has kind of cemented his role, probably, right? And then we're talking about the Bilal Powell and Elijah McGuire stuff.
I mean, Bilal Powell's he's the third guy in this backfield.
That's what I was kind of alluding to here. I think Elijah McGuire takes away from a lot of Bilal Powell's receptions, and slowly it will be Crowell, McGuire, then Powell. You know who else is on the Jets? Thomas Rawls.
Who cares?
Yeah, I just thought I'd mention it.
He will be cut.
Anyways, Elijah McGuire, I think, would be the solid running back two on the Jets. What does that mean for fantasy football? I don't know, because the Jets are going to suck again. But it's Elijah McGuire, I think, is worth noting in a deep league. If all the running backs have dried up, Elijah McGuire, I mean, he showed small little flashes. He didn't light up the world, but he showed flashes of some positive stuff last year.
Yeah, so I'll read you a report from the New York Post,
mm-hmm.
From Brian Costello, one of the beat writers for the Jets, that this is the type of news that I pay attention to,
okay.
Where it's news that's bad for a player, right? The news that makes it seem like somebody's not doing well. So
okay.
Brian Costello said that he's, based on what he's seen so far, he expects Bilal Powell's production to drop dramatically this year in 2018, that Isaiah Crowell's health is doing well right now. That's the major source for this. It seems like Crowell is taking the role and that McGuire is emerging as that second guy.
That should be a beat writer for the Jets.
Yeah. So, you know, that's exactly kind of what we're saying here,
yeah.
Where it just seems like, you know, Powell's out. He's old news. And Crowell and McGuire are the new toys.
Yep. Easy enough.
All right. Let's jump into some wide receivers, Dale.
All right. Let's start off with...
I'm giving you my NPR.
Look, last year we talked about him as a sleeper as well. I guess he becomes a sleeper again, only because he was a rookie last year. But Kenny Golladay. With the
why do you do this to me, man? Lions. Why do you want to talk about Kenny Golladay?
Look, I just think in that offense, another year under his belt, and the NFL isn't kind to rookie wide receivers, you know?
Okay.
Sorry.
I'll give you a good. I'm not a huge Golladay guy, okay. But I'll give you a couple reasons why he could be the guy. Okay.
Okay.
There's no more Eric Ebron. You know when Golladay did his best? When Ebron was not healthy at the start of the season.
Interesting.
So, so that's punto numero uno. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I did that. I speak Spanish.
That's weird.
Yeah. Why am I doing?
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I mean,
can we start? Can I reset?
No, you're not going to. No. Right. You know, he didn't play weeks 4 through 9 either. So that didn't really help his rookie stock. And then it kind of took him a while. He started off a little high. He had 7 targets, 3, and then 5 targets in the beginning of the season, which isn't bad for a guy new on the scene. And then after he was out for, 6 weeks, he came back week 10, and it took him a while to get back. But towards the end of the season, week 14, he had 4 targets, then he had 5, and then he had 8 targets to end the season. So maybe Stafford's getting more used to him. I don't know. I think this could be a time where Kenny Golladay breaks out a little bit and snags. He's a big guy. He could snag touchdowns.
Right. I will now
end zone guy.
Play some devil's advocate with you, Dale.
I mean, okay, I know Marvin Jones and Golden Tate are there. I get that. And they're probably a superior talent to Golladay. I get it. But if Golladay...
Talent? I mean, Golladay, we're talking about... I mean, he's a big dude. 6'4", mm-hmm. 220, 4.5 speed. He's a talented guy. I don't think that's the issue. I think it's a seniority and rapport issue. And we saw that resurgence from Marvin Jones last year. We saw how productive he was. And we've seen how incredibly productive Golden Tate is. The PPR value of Golden Tate mm-hmm. year in and year out. Where the guy is going to put up at least 90 catches every damn year.
Yeah.
So I think it's more a concern of, is the volume going to be there for Kenny Golladay? But if I had to pick a guy that might end up with 8 touchdowns, just because he can be the goal line receiver, he can be that throw it up into the end zone guy. Yeah.
6'4".
It's Kenny Golladay.
Yeah. Yeah. He had 17 yards per reception last year, an average 27. I'm sorry. Never mind. He did have 17 yards per reception last year, though.
Thank you.
Okay. Fair enough. So I think that I don't know if the run game is going to be any better. Let's not pretend that Kerryon Johnson is going to come in and change the entire Lions offense.
Yeah,
you know,
it's an interesting backfield.
I think Amir Abdullah and Theo Riddick, I don't think that they were to blame for the lackluster running game that Lions have.
Am I crazy to think Abdullah might get cut?
I don't think he will get cut.
Someone's going to get cut. You think they're going to carry 4 running backs and a fullback?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess we'll see. I don't think
you're talking
so,
about yeah. there's Kerryon, sure. Riddick, Abdullah, mm-hmm. and Blunt.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're keeping Blunt and cutting Abdullah.
I guess. I mean, we'll see.
That's speculation. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they keep all 4.
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe they keep all 4. Yeah.
But
you didn't. That's not news. I'm not breaking anything.
But I mean, they don't really have a tight end. I mean, I'm not going to say as reliable because Eric Ebron wasn't very reliable anyways. But without a pass-catching tight end, they're probably going to go with 3 wide receiver sets more often than not, and Kenny Golladay is going to be out there. And then his snap percentage is going to go up, and you're going to see a lot of the long balls go to him, I think.
Perfect.
We'll see. Okay. Who's next? Who's on our list here?
I'm going to give you a guy, Dale.
Sure.
I'm going to give you a guy that I like quite a bit. I think he is a explosive talent.
No.
And
this means that he's not very good.
Why do you say that?
Because it usually means that it's going to be some big boomer bust guy that goes 1 big catch every 6 games.
No, it's just always boom.
Okay, who?
He's just always boom. First of all, his name is awesome. His name is D.D. Westbrook. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Why are you doing this?
I'm listening.
Why are you being like this?
I'm just saying. Keep going. I don't know. Keep going. D.D. Westbrook.
Why? Listen, man. Let's look back. I was going to do something completely irrelevant. Let's look back all the people named Westbrook in sports, okay? We've got Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. That guy's great.
He's awesome, right?
Okay. You remember Brian Westbrook of the Philadelphia Eagles?
I do. He was awesome.
He was awesome. Mm-hmm. And now we've got Dede Westbrook, mm-hmm. right? What does that mean? He's going to be awesome.
Yep.
Now, let me give you some real reasons, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Allen Robinson, does he play for the Jags anymore?
No.
No. Allen Hurns, does he play for the Jags anymore?
Nope.
Marquise Lee, has he ever been amazing?
Not amazing.
Okay.
He's formidable, though.
The opportunity is there.
Sure.
Is what I'm saying.
Sure.
And here, let me give you one more reason, okay?
Okay.
Let me pull this reason up here. You know where Dede Westbrook is going right now?
Tell me.
His average draft position?
Tell me.
Is the last pick of the draft. Meaning in most drafts, he's going undrafted.
Right.
So you're talking about a guy who is free. Free.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't I want a guy who, I mean, I understand. He didn't play 10 games last year. But when he finally did, he looked pretty good.
Now, I mean, basically where he's being drafted, you got to think, do you draft Dede? Do you draft basically the Jags number two wide receiver, or I would say Blake Bortles' second option, mm-hmm. over other people's third and fourth option? Like, do you take Dede Westbrook over Geronimo yes. Allison?
Yes.
Okay. Somebody we're not talking about enough, and maybe for the right reasons, but do you take him over Brandon Marshall?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, the Packers situation, I hesitated because somebody in that Packers wide receiver core, I did not put them as a sleeper, but one of those Packers wide receivers will be an extreme value on draft day.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know who it is yet.
Yep. Okay, here's a good one, and I think I know how you're going to answer. Look, I have two good ones here. Quincy Enunwa. Do you draft Dede Westbrook over Quincy Enunwa?
I've actually done exactly that already this season.
That's close. I think Dede Westbrook definitely has maybe more upside than Enunwa. Safety, I might go Enunwa.
Okay.
What about, and I think this is the next guy I want to talk about, and this might be a good transition. We're not professionals, but man, this would make us look really, really prepared. Paul Richardson. Would you draft Dede Westbrook over Paul Richardson? Paul Richardson is kind of third on the depth chart right now.
He won't be.
Okay. So let's talk about Paul Richardson.
Give me Paul Richardson. Yeah. We need to talk about him a little bit.
See what I did there? So we have Crowder and Doxson here, probably one and two, right, on the Redskins?
Right. Yeah.
Where does Alex Smith go? Paul Richardson, I mean, first of all, they spent a ton of money on Paul Richardson in the offseason.
Yep, $40 million.
That wasn't by accident. They want to use him, obviously. They see what he has to offer. Is there any chance, give me a percentage chance here, that Paul Richardson could be the number one wide receiver on this offense? What are the chances? Because I'll tell you mine as soon as you tell me yours.
I'd say...
Oh, no, hold on. Don't tell me.
There's a 40% chance.
God. I hate you. I was telling you to wait, and you just kept talking. I had a good game. Never mind.
Okay.
You said 40%?
That's percent. I didn't say it. Okay. Just rewind.
All right.
39%.
Okay. Well, geez, now you ruined it twice. On three, we say our percentages, and we say how close we are.
Okay.
One, two, three. 45.
39.5%.
Okay. See? I think that's, I mean, when we're talking about this, that's a huge, I mean, for both of us, to you be in the 40s and me be in the, that's crazy to think that Paul Richardson, who is being drafted, where's he being drafted right now? He's being drafted somewhere around this.
I'm on it.
What, in the 60s in the wide receiver range and maybe undrafted?
Same spot as Dede Westbrook, where it's the last pick of. He shows up on the calculator, but basically undrafted.
Man, being undrafted, this is a easy way to grab a flyer at the end of your draft. If you're wide receiver light in your draft and you're coming up with the last round of drafting before you get kickers or defenses, I think Paul Richardson is a really good snag.
I'd snag him.
See? So
snag him hard.
There you go. I like Paul Richardson a lot, actually. I also might be talking about him more and more as we go on.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about another wide receiver here who I think he's being talked a lot about this preseason. I see it on Twitter a lot. Mike Williams. I know this is a guy that you put on this list here, Brito. Mike Williams is being drafted above Paul Richardson about a round earlier, but two rounds earlier than Paul Richardson. Right after guys like we just talked about, Josh Doctson and Kenny Golladay. What are you thinking about Mike Williams? Is he being underdrafted here?
Listen, Phillip Rivers is going to throw the ball a lot.
Sure.
He always has, and he always will.
Mm.
No more Hunter Henry. He's going to be out for this season. Keenan Allen's obviously there, and he's going to get his. But there's got to be a lot of targets for someone else, and Mike Williams is a talented guy. He is, for me, going to be, he's not just a sleeper. I think he's also a guy that I'm going to label as a breakout. I don't know these labels, man. There's so many.
The labels that are made are for marketing purposes. So you label them whatever you want, and then we'll make it work. I'll put it on Twitter. So make up a word. What is he?
He is a sleeper and a breakout.
Okay.
And I'll give you one more thing. He is
slake out.
A first round wide receiver. He's a first round wide receiver, not in the actual NFL draft, is what I mean.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. So he had the talent coming out of college.
He was drafted 7th overall by the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He is talented. That's it. That's all I need to say. Like, he has Drew Brees. Phillip Rivers. Man, what is it? Fucking 1999. Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. What year did Drew Brees play for the Chargers?
Yeah, like 2000, 2001 maybe? I don't know.
2001 to 2005.
Yeah.
What am I doing, man? Why did I say Drew Brees?
Anyways.
I've been doing this too long.
Mike Williams didn't get a lot of chance to play last year.
Well, I mean, we thought Mike Williams might not play at all last year, first of all. So it was a lost season for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a guy who showed his talent in college at Clemson, who is going to step into an amazing opportunity as the second wide receiver in this offense and the big outside guy. Like, he's 6'3".
Yeah.
And he could very easily be a touchdown maker in this offense, especially with no Henry this year. So I think that's pretty much the summary. I think it's just an opportunity and value thing.
Outside of Keenan Allen, there were no receivers, even tight ends. Like, Hunter Henry didn't set the world on fire last year. There's a lot of promise for him this year before he got injured. But even last year, outside of Keenan Allen, nobody really stepped up and took off that. And that role was open to anybody who wanted it. And nobody, and for that offense and what Phillip Rivers does, that's pretty surprising. So I expect Mike Williams to do it this year.
Yep.
Okay.
And we've seen, in years past, the Chargers be able to support multiple wide receivers. It wasn't the case last year, but I think it will be the case in 2018.
Yep. Okay. Another one of my sleepers, and I'm going to move over to tight ends right now, and then I think that'll basically sum it up. He's kind of a sleeper. I know a lot of people are talking about him, but I feel like we would be, if this is the only podcast you listen to, I feel like it would be an injustice not to talk about George Kittle at the San Francisco 49ers. He will most likely be the 49ers' best receiving option on this team, on a team that had the second most passing attempts last year. Jimmy Garoppolo, probably knows offense a little bit better, although he did do pretty well in the small chance he got last year towards the end of the season for the 49ers. this should be a pretty pass happy offense, and George Kittle should be the should benefit the most out of it.
His average draft position right now, 14th round.
Yeah.
For George Kittle.
And look, I wait on tight ends a lot anyways, and it's pretty easy to wait on George Kittle. I wouldn't mind taking him over guys, like popular guys like Jack Doyle or O.J. Howard. I would even consider over Jordan Reed, over Trey Burton probably.
I'm a Garoppolo guy, man. I'm a believer.
Yeah, that wasn't in our news. We should have at least talked about him dating a porn star. Do you care?
Good for him. Yeah. Well, bad for him.
Huh?
What?
You feel bad
or
for
bad
him?
For him. I don't know. I said good for him or bad for him. I don't know. I'm not wanting anybody to judge. Maybe it was awesome.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it was crappy.
I feel like it would probably be a letdown.
Let him be the judge.
It's like, you know, like a...
Like a hot dog down the hallway?
No, it would be, kind of letdown. You know, like, I'd imagine, like, you know, a girl that dates Brad Pitt, and then, like, he has no personality or something. That's how I feel like
it. Don't you dare say that about my boy.
Oh, no. You know, like, you go, you're excited because Brad Pitt's good looking, you go, and, like, he doesn't want to talk during dinner. And he just sits there, and he's just checking his phone. That's probably how.
If he wants to just sit there and check his phone, you let him, damn it.
I guess.
You leave that man alone.
I guess. Sorry.
How dare you.
Anyways, that pretty much sums up our... We were pretty efficient this episode. I feel like we got right to the point pretty quick. You know, it's only 40-something minutes in the podcast.
That's not bad.
You know, we didn't... I feel like we didn't waste time. If anybody wants to go to our website and sign up for Eat Nation, we have five membership platforms you can sign up for, all the way from $5 a year to $5 a week for some DFS stuff, all the way up to a platinum membership, which gets you tons of goodies and all that, and draft kit and all that stuff. Go to our website, eatsleepfantasy.com. You can find it. Just navigate the website, and you'll find ways to spend money. And it helped the show.
Awesome.
Podcastawards.com. Vote for us. And we'd appreciate it. Send us a screenshot, and we'll probably send you a pop socket. Anything else, Brito?
Baby Shark.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned. If you don't know what Baby Shark is, stay tuned. And turn up your radio if you're in your car.
When you're done with this, go to YouTube and watch the video. It's even better with the hand motions.
It's not better. It's just...
I need to stop working with kids.
Yes, definitely.
It's really fun, though.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you hanging on to us. And for Christian Brito. Man, this was weak. Am I off my game?
I don't know. Thanks for listening. Do-do-do-do-do. Thanks for listening.
For Christian Brito, I'm Dale. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys later.
See you later. Do-do-do-do-do. Let's say bye. Safe at last.